You'll take your Bible this morning and turn to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 5. Before the Christmas holidays, we were looking at the miracles of Jesus Christ, and we're going to continue there this morning. Luke, chapter 5. I trust you've had a good week, a good vacation. And you know, Pastor Donnie said he was getting older and he wasn't able to stay up late. Well, when you get to have grandkids, all of a sudden you begin to feel like you're supposed to be younger again. And this past week, I've survived tubing in the snow and roller skating. And I only fell once roller skating. And the only thing that was hurt was my pride. Because as I came around and went to get off on that nice carpeted area where everybody is sitting and watching, I face planted. And all I heard was, "Are you okay?" And I get up and said, "Oh boy." But it's been good to have the grandkids here. It's been just a good week and we've truly enjoyed it. I do want to thank you all for your cards and all your expressions of love for myself and Allison, and I know Pastor Donnie and Erica and Norman and Kelly would say the same thing, and just thank you for love for us and your care for us and all your expressions and gifts. We do deeply appreciate it. Luke chapter 5 this morning, want to look at a miracle that Jesus Christ did, and we're only really going to touch the surface of it this morning. I'm probably going to be speaking on it for a few weeks. But it's the first miracle that Matthew would bring forth in the Gospel of Matthew, which is interesting. And it's very important miracle that we consider this morning. I've thought much about it, and I'm still just barely really getting into it to really ponder it and think about all of it, all that it concerns. It has to do with a man. And the Bible doesn't give us any details contextually about this man. But it just speaks about what this man all of a sudden is going through. And in Luke chapter 5 and verse number 12, we're just going to read the first part of verse number 12 to begin with. And it came to pass when he was in a certain city, and then it says this, "Behold a man full of leprosy." When Jesus was coming to this city, a certain city, it doesn't tell us what city because that really doesn't matter. But all of a sudden it says, "Behold," or "Look," or "Take notice." And then it just simply says this. And yet how much it says with just so few words. A man full of leprosy. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank this morning for your word. Lord, I just pray that your word would speak to our hearts this morning. Lord, that your word would encourage us in each and every one of our personal lives this morning. And we'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Paul writes over in Romans chapter 15, in verse number 13, Paul writes this to the Romans. "Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost." Paul writes and he says, the God of hope, and his prayer is that the God of hope would fill us with joy and peace, that we would abound in hope. And when you read through the epistles over and over and over again, many times, the writers, the epistle, Paul and Peter, James and John, are reminding us of the hope that we have. And that hope is one person, Jesus Christ. Paul writes in 1 Timothy chapter 1, and he says, Christ, which is our hope. And this morning, I want to begin the new year by bringing you a message of hope. Hope for you in your life, and hope for you in your family, and hope for you in your circumstances. And what better place than Luke chapter 5, because in Luke chapter 5, out of all the miracles that we have in the Gospels, out of all the different circumstances that we have in the Gospels, I think Luke chapter 5 has got to be the worst of the worst. For in Luke chapter 5, it just simply says this, that all of a sudden in the city we see something. We see a man, and then it says this, full of leprosy. Three words. Full of leprosy. And how those three words had changed his life for the worse. And yet in this passage of Scripture, we also see two words spoken by the Lord Jesus Christ that brought him great hope. And those two words are found down in verse number 13, where Jesus simply said, I will, I will. You know, we hear a lot of words spoken to us in the course of a lifetime. I didn't look anything up or do any studies on how many words we hear. But you know, sometimes in life, all of a sudden, there's a couple of words that are spoken to us that all of a sudden change everything. And this morning, as we look at Luke chapter 5, and we just begin to really, just by way of introduction to this miracle, look at this, just in the overall context this morning. I want us to see three things this morning. I want us to first of all see his hurt. His hurt. You know, we can read over that. We can just read a man full of leprosy, and we can just quickly just go right by. But this man couldn't. We're going to see his hurt. I think that's important to see his hurt this morning. But second of all, more importantly, we want to see his hope. Because sometimes all we see is the hurt, and we don't see the hope. And if we don't see the hope, we'll never realize the help. And so we'll see his hurt, his hope, and his help. And now that I've got the three points out of the way, I can preach. His hurt, his hope, and his help. I want you to just stop. I really want you to stop. That one phrase, a man full of leprosy. I've thought about that every day, all throughout the day this week, over and over again, a man full of leprosy. What happened? How did it come to be? How did it affect him? How did it change him? Where was he at? What was he thinking? What was his life like? How did it start? You know, the Bible doesn't say anything about this man's life. It just says a man, and yet the man had a life. Everybody has a life. This man was no different than anybody else. He had a mother, he had a father, he had an upbringing, he had a childhood. He grew up when was a youth and became a young man, and now the Bible says he's a man. It doesn't say how old he is. It doesn't say whether he's 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80. It says a man. The Bible doesn't give us any description of his life. And yet he had a life. The Bible doesn't tell us whether he was married or not. Could be he was a single man. Could be he was a married man. Could be he had sons and daughters. Could be his family was young. Could be he'd only married for a few years. Might have been that he was married for a long time. Might have been that his wife had already died. Might be his children are young or have grown up, and the Bible doesn't give us any context of his relationships in regard to family, but he had a life. Doesn't tell us what he did for his life. Yet we knew he must have done something. The Bible says in a certain city, could be this man was a man of trades. Could be this man was a businessman. Could very well be that since man had a family and owned a shop there in the city, wherever it was, and tended a store, and could be that in his life, and could be that every day he would get up and he'd have breakfast and give his wife a kiss and pat his children on the heads and go off to his store and walk down the street and open the door to his shop and turn the sign from closed to open and go in and look around and get everything ready and wait for the customers. And could be that the customers would come in and he'd greet them and take care of their needs, and they would leave and he would tend shop, and at the end of the day he would turn the lights out or blow the candle out, go home and be back with his family. And then something happened. Because all of a sudden, one day, this man looked down. And all he did was he looked down and he noticed a spot on his skin. You ever do that? You just look down and say, wow, where'd that come from? The older you get, you see more of those spots. I'm just looking down and say, wow, where'd that one go? But all of a sudden, one day, he just looked and maybe felt an itch on his arm. And he saw a spot. Just like when you get poison ivy. Remember when you used to get poison ivy? Remember how all of a sudden, you know, right in between those fingers, right? You'd get a little spot and you'd see that little bubble start to rise up. Just one little bubble. Boy, I tell you what, when I noticed that one little bubble rising up between my fingers, I said, oh no, here we go again. But this is more important. And he looked at that spot and he thought about that spot. And as a Hebrew, he knew. He knew and he thought and he says, you know what? I need to go have that checked out. And he didn't go to a doctor. He didn't go to a physician. He went to the priest. And he went into the priest and he rolled up his sleeve, if you will, or if it was on his hand, and he showed it to the priest, and the priest looked at it and the priest examined it. According to the specifications of Scripture in the book of Leviticus, the priest looked at it and he looked close at it. And then he said this word. changed everything. Leprosy. And the priest sent him home. The priest sent him home and he says, come back in 7 days and let me check again. And the man went back home and waited those 7 days in fear and dread. And after 7 days, he goes back to the priest again. The priest looks at it again. Says, go home another 7 days. He goes home another 7 days. And as these days pass, he knows he doesn't need to go back to the priest, but he must go back to the priest. Because you see, this spot has spread. And it's worse every day. And it's not healing. And the Bible goes on to describe it as putrefying sores. And it begins to spread. And what has started on his hand or on his arm has spread. And by the time he goes back to the priest after those 14 days, he knows what the priest is going to say. And the priest is going to utter two words. Here in Luke chapter 5, it uses three words. It says, full of leprosy. Full of leprosy. But in Leviticus chapter 3, the priest would look at that man and he didn't have to look at the arm anymore. Because as soon as he saw the man walk in, he saw the worst sight you could see. He saw a man who had, by this period of time, lost his hair. His hair had fallen out. And leprosy had spread to the point where it was consuming his face. The Bible speaks in Numbers chapter 12 of leprosy and Miriam, and it speaks about how she's one that when you look upon her, it's as if she's dead and yet she's alive. That's because when the leprosy spreads, it eats at your skin. And the skin just begins to putrefy and just shed itself and just like a corpse. And he would go before the priest one more time, and the priest would utter these two words, utterly unclean. Utterly unclean. And when that man heard those two words, all of a sudden he's without hope. And the reason why the Bible says in Luke chapter 5, it simply says a man full of leprosy, is because that's all there was. Because to this man, there was nothing else at this point in his life. For as you would leave that priest and hear those two words, utterly unclean, he knew that unless a miracle happened, his life forever was over. Oh, he was alive, but not really. If you want to be blunt, he was just a living corpse. A man full of leprosy. A man that now would... everything was gone. He would have to leave his family. He couldn't go back to his home and stay with his wife or his kids if he had them. He had to depart from his house. Maybe stop by the store and put a sign in the window and said, closed forever. He left his business. And he would have to leave everything. His wife, his family, his business, his life. He would have to separate himself from the world, from all of society, wear a covering upon his face and walk around, and if he came near anybody, he would have to say in a loud voice, unclean, unclean. A man full of leprosy. Alive, you might say so. But he was in a world of hurt. And there was nothing he could do. Nothing he could do. The Bible doesn't tell us how long he had been in this condition. It doesn't tell us whether it was just a few weeks. The Bible doesn't tell us whether he had endured it for a year or 2 years or 3 years. The Bible doesn't give us, because all of that doesn't really matter. It just says a man full of leprosy. I remember the testimony of Sam Day, missionary to India. I remember when he came here in the mid-90s. And I was thinking about what it must have been like for Sam Day. For you see, we support a missionary in the Indies, in India, that when he was a child, he contracted leprosy. And I remember him telling about how in contracting leprosy and all of a sudden becoming infected with this disease, that he was taken from his home and he was sent to a leper house. And I remember him saying how, and I don't remember all the details, so forgive me if I get some of these wrong, but I remember the general sense of it, that all his identification papers and everything about him was destroyed. And as a young boy, he was sent away from his family to a house for lepers. And out of all the circumstances that we read of in the miracles of Jesus Christ, tell you what, this has got to be the most devastating, the worst of the worst, and the hurt of this man. Just stop and consider what it must have been like. Stop and consider if today in your life, all of a sudden your life was like that. And you heard those words, utterly unclean. Your body is racked with pain. And that pain is just getting worse and worse and worse. And you can't be around your family to get comfort. You have no job to take your mind off of it, even for a moment or for an hour. You're enduring that physical pain. The stench that fills your nostrils of your own disease. And what your thoughts must be. What your emotions must be. And what your life is. how can we begin to comprehend what this man was really going through? And the Bible says a man full of leprosy. The hurt of this man is really beyond our comprehension. Because it changed everything in his life. And all he knew and sensed and felt and endured was leprosy. And if the story ended right there, there's no hope. But you see, there is hope because the story doesn't end there. And there is hope for you in your life because you might be at the point this morning, you might say, well, I don't have leprosy, but boy, my life's a mess. I got a problem. But there is hope. And the hope is found in Luke chapter 5 and verse number 12. And it doesn't matter what your circumstances are. It doesn't matter what your situation is. It doesn't matter how long you've been in it. It doesn't matter to what depth it is. The hope is the same for everybody. And there's only one hope. And in Luke chapter 5, that hope is in verse number 12. It says, behold, a man full of leprosy. And then it says this, who seeing Jesus. I want you to stop right there. I don't want you to go any further. Because that's the hope. That's the only hope. That is the hope. There is no other hope. Who's seeing Jesus? You look at every miracle in the New Testament. Every miracle that the Lord Jesus Christ performed in the life of an individual. And you can look at the circumstances. And you can look at their situations. You can look in John chapter 4. A nobleman. What does it matter if he's a nobleman? He's got a son who's at the point of death. You can look at the woman who's for 12 years she's had this issue of blood. And the Bible says for 12 years, she has spent all her living, everything. She's exhausted all her resources on all the doctors. You understand what that says? She went to every doctor, and the Bible says she couldn't be healed of any. You look in John chapter 5, the man who for 38 years had this infirmity where he couldn't walk. And he lay by that pool and for 38 years. Look at a leper. Full of leprosy. And every time, every one of these circumstances, every one of these people whose lives, circumstances were different, but the hurt was the same. A man hurting because his son is dying. A woman hurting because she had an issue of blood and nobody could take care of it. A man hurting because for 38 years he couldn't walk. A man who had been blind from birth. And yet every time, what made the difference was that all of a sudden one day they saw a person named Jesus. And it says, this man full of leprosy, who's seeing Jesus. You see, my friend, if you're going to find help, you first have to see where the hope is. And this man seeing Jesus, you say, well, Pastor, I've seen Jesus. I know. I've read about Jesus. Oh, my friend, listen to me. Listen, please listen to me this morning. This man found hope because he really saw Jesus. I mean, he really saw Jesus. He saw Jesus at a point where he fell on his face and said, Lord. He saw Jesus and there was no question in his mind or his heart or his faith about whether Jesus Christ could heal him. He says, I know you're able. He saw Jesus. And I tell you this morning, if you've got a problem, if you've got a circumstance, if you're hurting this morning, if you're discouraged this morning, I tell you the only answer is to get your eyes on one person, that's Jesus. And when I say get your eyes on Jesus, when I say get your eyes on one person, Jesus, I mean you get your eyes on Jesus until you see Jesus for who he really is. I mean, until you see Jesus for who he really is. I mean, until you see Jesus, until you see Jesus and who he really is. For we can go throughout the Bible and we can look and we can see Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 6. And in Isaiah chapter 6, all of a sudden he saw Jesus. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 6, he saw the Lord high and lifted up. This glory filled the temple, and he's holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. We can look in the book of Daniel and we can see three young men cast into a fiery furnace. By all accounts, should have been dead. But they saw Jesus. We can look at the life of Stephen. In Acts chapter 7, as men lifted up their hands and picked up stones in all their rage to kill him, the Bible says he looked steadfastly up into heaven, filled with the Spirit of God, and he looked up into heaven. He saw the heavens open. He saw the glory of God. And the Bible says, and he saw Jesus standing on the right hand of God. We can go to the Isle of Patmos in Revelation chapter 1. We can see a man that had lived for the Lord, a man that had walked by faith, a man that had served God, and all of a sudden he's on the Isle of Patmos all alone, forsaken by everybody. The Bible tells us in Revelation chapter 1 that all of a sudden he saw Jesus in all his glory. We can go to the Gospels and we can look at that night when the disciples are in the boat and there's a tempest and there's a storm and all of a sudden they see Jesus walking on the water. And Peter, he speaks to the Lord and he says, Lord, if that's you, bid me to come unto thee. And the Lord says, come. And Peter gets out of the boat and starts to walk on the water. And then Peter saw something else. He saw the storm. It's easy to see the storm sometimes, isn't it? Many times it's more easy to see the storm than it is to see Jesus. And many times our eyes get fixed on the storm. And all we see is the storm. And all we see is the waves and the wind and the hurt. When Peter had his eyes on the storm, he began to sink. And if our eyes are only on the storms of life, there's only one thing that'll happen. You'll begin to sink. And Jesus reached out his hand and lifted him up, and I'm so thankful for that. The Bible's in Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord Jehovah, for in the Lord Jehovah is an everlasting strength. The book of Hebrews chapter 2, it says this. In Hebrews chapter 2, the Bible says this. Verse number 9. But we see Jesus. Do we see Jesus? Well, I know we know about Jesus. I know we've heard about Jesus. We've studied about Jesus. But in the reality of life, in the reality of the circumstances of this life in which I live, what really am I seeing? Who am I looking at? What are my eyes beholding? What are my eyes seeing? How is it affecting my heart and my faith? The Bible says we see Jesus, who is made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. You see, when this man, full of leprosy, in a world of hurt, all of a sudden began to see Jesus for who he was, he began to have hope. Because he saw Jesus. Boy, I just can't get that through. He saw Jesus. I might encourage you this morning to just take your Bible and prayerfully open it up and ask God, oh Lord, let me see Jesus for who he is. Let me see Jesus for who he truly is, in all that he is, in everything that he is. That I might see his glory, that he is God, that he is the Son of God, that he is the King of Kings, that he's seated on the right hand of God, that I might see his power, and that I might know that there is nothing too hard for this one called Jesus. That I might see that he is far above everything else, seated on the right hand of God, ever living to make intercession. That I might see that he's conquered everything. That there's nothing that he has not conquered. That I might see Jesus. That I might see Jesus. For only when we really begin to see Jesus will hope spring up in our heart. This is what happened in this man's life. The Bible says, seeing Jesus. And look at what happened. Seeing Jesus. Seeing Jesus. Is this what happens when we see Jesus? Is this what happens when you see Jesus? Is this what has happened when you've seen Jesus? In the midst of your difficulties, in the midst of your struggle, in the midst of your strife, in the midst of your discouragement and despair, when you see Jesus, look what happens. Fell on his face. He fell on his face. He fell before the Lord Jesus Christ. He humbled himself. He didn't even have to humble himself. His sight of Jesus brought him to a place of humility. He fell on his face before Jesus. He cried out, Lord. Lord, he understood. He knew in his heart. He knew by faith that Jesus was Lord. that truly he was the Son of God. He said, Lord. And he worshiped him. Matthew chapter 8, it says, when he came to Jesus, he worshiped him. He worshiped him. He worshiped him. And he fell before the Lord. He fell on his face. And it says he besought him. He besought him. Man, I tell you what. This guy knew he had a problem. This man knew that his problem was incurable. This man knew that there was no hope apart from one person, that was Jesus. This man fell on his face before Jesus. And he besought him. He pleaded with him. He cried unto him. He begged him. And he said, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And I tell you what, this man had no doubt at all about the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, you can make me clean. And this is why I say you need to go back and see Jesus. Because a lot of times the stumbling block in our lives is although we know all the verses, we know all the stories, we all know all the miracles, we know all the scripture, what we don't know in our heart is that Jesus can do whatever. And he can. You might say, oh, but this is my, You can't look at Jesus and really see Jesus and say, but my sin. You need to go back and look at Jesus some more. Because when you look at Jesus and you really see Jesus, you know what? You'll see a Jesus that you know. That you know without any shadow of doubt can do a miracle in your life. We've seen Jesus this past year. I've seen Jesus save souls and change lives this year. We've seen Jesus in 3 months remove a debt from this church that not a one of you probably really thought was going to happen. Ask yourself this question honestly. How many of you really thought on September 25th when your pastor stood before you and said, let's see and pray that God will remove this debt? How many of you really walked out that Sunday afternoon and said, wow, God's going to take care of that debt? See, it's not a matter of whether or not Jesus is able. It's not a matter of, it's not a question of the power of Jesus Christ. The question is, are we really seeing Jesus? Because this man, when he really saw Jesus, he said, I know you can make me clean. I know you are the Lord. And it's not a question of whether you can or not. The question is, will you? If thou canst, if thou wilt, thou can make me clean. And this man who was in a world of hurt, all of a sudden when he really saw Jesus, was in a place where he saw there was hope. And that's where it starts, folks. That's where it starts. And then he found help. Look at verse number 13. Verse number 13. And here we find his help, his hurt. He was a man full of leprosy. His hope. His hope was in one person, Jesus Christ. Your hope's in one person, Jesus Christ. If you're looking anywhere else for hope, boy, I tell you what, you're looking in the wrong direction. Over and over and over and over and over and over again. The Bible says Christ is our hope. Paul writes to the Corinthians, he says, others, they have no hope. Paul writes to the Ephesians and he says, they're without hope. They're without God in this world. But Christian, this morning, Christ is our hope. Christ in you, the hope of glory. We have a lively hope, a living hope. We have a sure hope, a steadfast hope. It's the anchor of our soul. That hope is Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ, not only our hope, but he's our help. Because the Bible says in verse number 13, and he, who? Just one person, Jesus Christ. You know, there's no one else mentioned in this passage of Scripture. There's just a man, and there's Jesus. I love it. No one else around. A man full of leprosy and Jesus. And that's where we need to come to be. Me and Jesus. My life in Jesus. My heart in Jesus. My eyes in Jesus. My faith in Jesus. Because Christ is my hope. My only hope, my all, my every hope. And he, Jesus. And I want you to notice something. I've been looking at this passage of Scripture. And he put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately the leprosy departed from him. He put forth his hand. He put forth his hand. Now, I want you to just think about something. He put forth his hand. He put forth his hand of power. The same hand that would reach down into that bed and raise that maiden up. The same hand that would be lifted up. And with his words, he would calm the storm. He put forth his hand of power. The hand of Jesus Christ is the almighty hand. You know, and when Jesus Christ put forth his hand, there was no hesitancy. There was no question. There was no doubt. There was no wonder in the heart of Jesus Christ. There was no question in the heart of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ put forth his hand, a hand of confidence. You see, Jesus Christ knows who he is. He's the Almighty God. Just as much as there was no doubt in the mind and heart of this man that Jesus was able, even more so, there was no doubt. There is no doubt in the person of Jesus Christ. As to his power to deliver you from whatever it is you're going through. Jesus Christ didn't step into that fiery furnace and say to those three men, you know, I think maybe, yeah, it might be that I can get you out of this. Jesus didn't look down at Daniel in the lion's den and say, you know, I searched it out on Google and saw a YouTube video and maybe we can work this out. No, Jesus put forth his hand of power. That's what Jesus Christ wants to do in my life. He wants to do in your life. He wants to put forth his hand of power and lift you up from that pit that you're in. Psalm 40. Lifted me up out of that pit. But not only did he stretch forth his hand of power, but it says he touched him. And there's much more to this that we'll go into probably next week. But he touched him. And you know what this man saw? You know what this man understood, this man felt? Not only the confidence of the Lord Jesus Christ, but the compassion of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thankful for the hymns that we sang this morning. Because you know, there's something else when we see Jesus, something we need to see. And that's this. I know he cares. I know his heart is touched with my grief. I know he cares. There's too many people that are living in despair and discouragement because they're not really seeing Jesus. They're not really seeing Jesus. Christians aren't really seeing Jesus for who he is. They're not seeing Jesus and understanding that it's able, and more than that, they've come to the place where they don't see Jesus, that he does care. And that's why you need to see Jesus. You need to see Jesus until you come to the point where you understand in your heart that Jesus Christ cares about you. And there's only one place where you can see that. And there's one place where you need to go over and over again to see it. And there's one place where you'll see it in all the reality, in all the magnificence, in all the glory. Hebrews chapter 2, but we see Jesus, who is made a little lower than the angels, for the suffering of death, crowned with honor and glory, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. Paul came to see Jesus. You know what Paul says? He loved me. Gave himself for me. Paul would write in Romans chapter 5, verse 8, but God commended his love toward us. God says, I'm showing you how much I love you, how much I care, and the greatest way in which I can show how much I care for you is by my son dying on that cross for your sins. And if you wonder whether Jesus cares about the problem in your life today, if you wonder whether Jesus cares about the struggle that you're going through, listen, go to the cross of Calvary and read it over and over and over and over again until you see the love of Christ, until you see the sacrifice of Christ for you, until you see the Christ of glory giving himself for you. And keep reading until you see that he lifts up his eyes to heaven and he says it's finished. Read until you see him taken down off that cross and buried in that tomb. Read until you see that the tomb could not hold him and he arises from the grave. Read until you see him ascend back into glory to be seated on the right hand of God. Read it until you see and understand that Jesus Christ does care for you. And he understood when all of a sudden the Lord reached forth his hand hand of power, hand of confidence, and touched him. Touched him. What a touch that was. Because in that touch, there was power. In that touch, there was confidence. In that touch, there was compassion. Because there's one thing you did not do. You did not touch a leper. You did not walk up and put your hand on a leper. And yet Jesus did. In your life, in your circumstances, it's only one person that really, really wants to walk up and touch your life like no one else can do, and that's Jesus. And then he heard Jesus speak. And he heard two words. Oh, how those two words must have filled his heart with joy. Hadn't even been cleansed yet. Hadn't even healed yet. Still had the leprosy within him. Still his body was filled with oozing with sores. And yet he heard two words. Ears that were probably just oozing and putrefying. And yet, two words from the lips of Jesus came through those ears, reached down to his heart. I will. I will. You know what those two words mean? You know what those two words meant to that man? You know what those two words meant? Jesus looked down at this man without hope, full of leprosy. And the man says, if thou wilt, thou can make me clean. Lord, if thou wilt, thou can make me clean. You know what those two words really meant to that man? Jesus says, I want to. I will. Jesus didn't say, I can. Oh, he could. Jesus didn't say, I ought to. Jesus said, I will. You know what Jesus is saying to you this morning? He's saying much more than I can. He's saying, I want to. I want to. Have we lost sight of the fact of what Jesus Christ really wants to do? Have we lost sight of the fact, the truth of what Jesus Christ wants to do in this world? He wants to save souls. He wants to heal the wounded heart. He wants to bind up those that are hurting. He wants to deliver. He wants to heal. He wants to restore. And he says, I will. And then he says this, be thou clean. Immediately the man was cleansed. Immediately the leprosy departed from him. And that's a whole nother story for another day. But the fact of the matter is this. Paul says, the God of hope, the God of hope wants you and me to abound in hope. The world in which you live, they have no hope. And our purpose ought to be that through our life and through our testimony and through our words, through the gospel, that they would see Jesus. But for you and me as children of God, oh, that our hope would be renewed this morning. That whatever our life is, whatever our circumstances are, that we begin to really see Jesus for who he is. See Jesus for who he is. And understand that we do have hope. And that our hope is Christ. And it's a living hope, steadfast hope. And we would humble ourselves before him. And we would see Jesus for all that he is, working our lives for his glory. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank this morning for thy word. And Lord, I pray that your word would strengthen our faith, encourage our hearts, renew our hope in thee this morning, Lord. We'll be careful to give you all the glory. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen.